If you have your Bibles, go ahead, and if you would turn over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. If you're able to stand, I invite you to stand as we read God's word this evening. Probably just one verse. Proverbs chapter 12, and in verse 1, give a chance to stretch your legs. Proverbs 12, 1 says this: "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do love you. And again, Lord, help us not pray from memory, but Lord, thank you for another opportunity to open your word tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for the group down in Mexico tonight. Lord, I do pray. Lord, I pray for safety. Lord, they're in a volatile place, and I pray for safety for them. Lord, I just pray that you give them boldness as they go. And Lord, I do pray for Brother Harris, Miss Harris, and Anna. God, I pray you to work in their lives and pray you keep them safe, not only physically, but spiritually and mentally as well. Lord, I do pray tonight for the folks that we came across on our trip. While we were away, I pray you just continue to work in their lives and continue to accomplish your will. Lord, I pray now as we look at your word a little bit tonight, Lord, I pray you help us to glean from thy word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, talks about there are two types of people. One, the one that receives instruction, and the one that doesn't like reproof. To turn, if you go back, if you would, it's 2 Samuel chapter 12. We see, to look at two individuals. So there's one that received reproof and one that did not. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We have here the account in the Bible of King David. I'm going to read 2 Samuel 11, verse 27, and then part of chapter 12. 2 Samuel 11, 27. "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were but two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together and with him, and with his children. It did eat his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his own bosom, and was in him as a daughter. And there came a traveler into the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come in. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee the master's house and the master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in this sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. Thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives unto thine eyes, before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before him, before the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to him, The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shall not die. And then it goes on to tell what's going to happen to him. But we know from history that the time between chapter 11 and chapter 12, was about a year, is a hard time in David's life. If you would look over to Psalm 32, it said that Psalm 32 was penned during the year between 2 Samuel 11 and 12. Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32. It says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For a day and the night, thy hand was heavy upon me. The moisture is turned into drought in the drought of summer. Selah. Then, if you would look over at Psalm chapter 51, verse 10 and 12. Psalm 51, verse 10 and 12. Psalm 51, verse 10. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We see here in the life of David, there had been a time when David had been right with the Lord, he served the Lord, but then we saw that there's a time when he got away from the Lord, committed adultery and murder, and then there was a year of his life where he was miserable. A year of his life, he was just miserable. I don't think words can explain how he felt, but we see it here in the Psalms how he was miserable, and that God had convicted his life. And God had removed his hand of blessing, and he lost all of his joy. He lost all of his peace. And then along came Nathan, and then the Lord used Nathan to rebuke David here, and then David had a choice to make. Am I going to get right or not? He that loveth reproof loveth knowledge. He had to make a choice. Thankfully, he made the right choice. He cried out to God, and God forgave him, but he still had the consequences of his sin. He still paid dearly for the consequences of his sin. Now, the Lord forgave him. I thank God for example of the Bible. Of someone that can be so right with God, then they so messed up, and then God restored the joy of their salvation to them, and God still used them. But first of all, they've seen this. Let's learn that we serve a forgiving God. Another verse of David wrote, he said that he knows my frame, he knows I'm but dust. The Lord knows that we're human. He never excuses sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm thankful that if tomorrow I mess up, I know I'm saved, I'm a God's child, and I know that God will convict me, God will chastise me, and God will work in my life. And I'm thankful for a Heavenly Father that when I come back before Him and say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me. 1 John 1:9 says that He will forgive me. Tonight, my first thought is this. Let's understand is that we serve a mighty God that loves us. He is forgiven, and he desires to work in our lives. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. It says if we say we're Christians, if we say we're Christians and we live ungodly and God doesn't judge us, then we're bastards and we're not a child of God. When God began to chastise and convict David of sin, it wasn't because God was angry at him. He was trying to get his attention. In our lives, let's be thankful that God cares enough to chastise us when we mess up. He loves us enough to forgive us when we make it right, because He's a great Father. Okay, now look over now to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We see the example of someone that received reproof was King David. Now look at someone that did not receive reproof. Book of 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. It's probably one of my favorite stories. 2 Chronicles, it should be chapter 14. It says 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 16. For time's sake, we won't read the whole chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We read the first couple of verses of chapter 14 to get started. 2 Chronicles 14. I'm in Samuel. No wonder it didn't look right. 2 Chronicles. I'm in Samuel. But this don't look right. Chronicles chapter 14:1. And Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was right, which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their father, and to do the law and the commandment. He took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities. And then let's go on back to verse 9. Verse 9 says, and then there came against him Zerah the Ethiopian with the host of 1,300 chariots, and came into Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him and set the battle in array in the valley of Zarephath. And it talks about verse 11, how he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord had blessed there. Now then, chapter 15, we see how the Lord continues to bless Asa. Then look at verse chapter 16. In the 30th year of the reign of Baasha, king of Israel, and the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold, the treasure of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. He sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, with Ben-Hadad was a past enemy. Verse 3, that there was a league between me and thee, and there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened to King Asa, and he sent the captains of his armies, the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon and Dan and Bethlehem and all the cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building the Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, where Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. And the time of Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host, with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, to show himself in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, hearing thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And Asa was wroth with his seer, and put him in prison, in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until the disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but the physicians. And Asa slept with his father, and died in the 40th year of the reign. And they buried him in the sepulchres which he had made for himself in the city of David. So we see here a man named Asa, that's king of Judah, and he became king, and God blessed, and they got attacked from without, and Asa turned to the Lord and said, Lord, I need your help, Lord, please help, and the Lord intervened, and then the Lord helped, and the Lord gave victory, and the Lord gave peace. And then in chapter 16 we see that another king came against Asa, and this time, instead of turning to the Lord, with Asa to turn to the Syrians for help. He took some out of the temple, and he went and he heard the help. And this thing, it displeased the Lord, because now Asa's trusting in man and not trusting in the Lord. So the Lord sent a prophet to Asa, said, Asa, listen, you messed up. You done wrong. You shouldn't be trusting man. You should trust the Lord. Asa became wroth at the prophet, and he put him in prison. He still didn't get right. Asa became diseased in his feet. He still didn't get right. Asa died. Asa wouldn't listen to reproof. Tonight, are we one that, like David, yes, we're going to mess up, and we're going to do things we shouldn't, but God, we should strive not to, but we messed up. When God reproves us, Are we like David or Asa? David had a tender heart. A matter of fact, after God's own heart. And when David confessed his sin, God forgave him. But he still suffered its consequences. But Asa, God spoke to him, and he wouldn't listen. God began to chastise him. He wasn't listening. And then God just took him home because he wouldn't listen. In our lives tonight, all of us tonight are either like David, we'll receive reproof, or we're like Asa, we won't receive reproof. I think it's imperative in my life that I learn that when God rebukes me, say, "Yes, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm sorry." Because our hearts can get harder and harder and harder. I think I've used illustration before. There was a boy came to our school here. His dad was kind of a rough guy. Nice guy, but kind of a rough guy. And we would go try to see him, and he would never open the door. I went by one time, and I was determined that day to talk to him, and for some reason I was just being stupid, I guess. Instead of knocking, I just walked around the house. Went and talked to him. He said, I didn't hear you knock. I didn't. Well, have a seat. We sit there. Begin to talk. I said, "Let me ask you a question, Mr. Jackson. If you die today, you know you go to heaven?" I expected no. I'm not going to heaven. Then I planned, I was going to show him the plan. I had all planned. I'm going to go here. He's going to say he's going to admit he's a sinner. He's going to admit, you know, that God loves him. He's going to get saved. It's going to be a great time. Went to it there and sat down and talked to him. And he said, "I'll show you something." He got up and went to his closet, which made me nervous. Went to his closet, and he came back with a small book. He said, "Read this." He opened the front cover. Had his name, a date, accepted Christ. His son's good teacher's name. He said, "I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I will not get right with God, though." He said, "I dare God to make me right." 2 weeks later, or 2 or 3 weeks later, sometime, it's been years now, with a short time, within 2 or 3 weeks later, I got a call from his son. He said, "Would you pray for Dad? He's going to the doctor. He's not feeling well." With the doctor, he had a cancer. Normally, only smokers over are supposed to get this cancer. He never smoked a day in his life. And he said, "It's bad." He said, "You don't have long left." I went to the hospital, see him in the hospital. He said, "Listen, the doctors, if they're right, you don't have long." He said, "I will not get right with God." The next week, he's in intensive care. Laying in intensive care. I said, "Will you get right with God now? You're about to leave this life. Leave it right." He says, "No." And I left. He died. He didn't get that hard overnight. He did not get that hard when he was 13. But I believe on my heart that as he began to stray, that God began to speak to his heart, and God began to speak, and each time he said no, his heart became harder, and his heart became harder, and his heart became harder, and then harder and harder. If we don't hear reproof, we become hardened to it. We don't listen to reproof. David, the Lord spent a year between 11 and 12, I believe, to get him miserable so he would listen. And when Nathan spoke, "Thou art the man," David just broke down. He said, "You're right. I've done these things." And God forgave him. And God used him. But Asa, on the other hand, God worked in his life, and God sent a prophet to rebuke him. He became angry at the prophet. I know a lot of Christians, and so do you probably, if you stop and think, people that wouldn't listen to rebuke, and they got harder and harder and harder. And things we said, I try not to say, I will never do, I try to say, by the grace of God, I will never do that. I've seen some people do some things I thought I would never see in my life. But I realize it's the grace of God. I've got a cousin. When we were kids, we swore there's things that we would never do in our family line. I'll stop at that. But there's things we would never do in our family line. After we got married, when we went down, I took my wife down to Kentucky to visit my family. And we get down there, and I went to this cousin's house, and I left, and I was sad. I said, how can he? We promised. We swore to each other we would never. And I was angry at him. And then I realized, but by the grace of God, there go I. Folks, if you want to look at Asa, but by the grace of God, there go us. If I mess up and I sin against God and I don't listen to the reproof that he gives me, time after time after time, I can end up like Asa. I can end up like that man I just talked about. They say that the measure of our love for Christ is the same as our measurement for hatred for sin. How much do we hate sin? If we don't hate sin very much, our love for God's kind of waning. Lydia, can we come here real quick, Lydia, please? Lydia. Here's my wife. We've been around the world together, ain't we, babe? And she still likes me. You know what? I love my wife. I never have any plan on hurting her. We kid a lot. She gets even. You guys don't have no idea. Now before the church, do you normally get even with me? She gets even. You know what? I have no intention of hurting my wife. But I know this. If I don't guard our relationship as husband and wife, that some little thing can come in there. And there can be a brick laid there, and then something else come along, and the brick gets higher and higher and higher, and all of a sudden we look over each other, and we look over, and there's a wall there. How many couples have I heard say, we just don't love each other anymore? That didn't happen overnight. It happened one brick at a time. Thank you. Our relationship with the Lord's the same way. We don't just get away from God all in one big swoop. It's bit by bit by bit. My challenge tonight is this. Let's stop and see what area of our life that God has rebuked us about that we've not made it right. Something God calls our attention tonight. Let's just kneel at the altar there, pray at your seat, say, God, I'm sorry. But it's a small thing. A small brick. But those small bricks add up. Young people, learn while you're young. When God speaks your heart, move while it's tender. Move while it's tender before sin gets in and our hearts get hardened. When you're young, when God speaks, listen. With our kids, we always try to teach our kids that slow means no. With Rick and Crystal, I never counted to 10. I wanted them to obey when I spoke. And I'm sure you remember the illustration, but those of you who's not heard it, one time, my son ever so often got in trouble, Rachel, sometimes. He's like his mom. He's kind of ornery. But, we'd sit somewhere, and, I said, do something. He looked at me. I said, Ricky. He looked at me. So I picked him up. I spanked him. You're supposed to count to 10 first, Daddy. I didn't know that rule. A couple weeks later, we was at Kmart parking lot. His mom's holding his hand. I wasn't. His mom's holding his hand. It's at nighttime. He pulled free to go run through the parking lot. Car's coming. Little kid, five years old, Lydia. He's three or four years old. To go running. Stop! He stopped. Didn't wait for a 10 count. He stopped. And I promised the car never saw him. But the car went right by him and never saw him. He'd been trained. Slow means no. Might have saved his life that night. Let's do that with God. But God said, stop. Let's stop. Let's not wait for a 10 count from God. Those bricks get hard. Asa messed up. But by the grace of God, there go we. There's something tonight in your life that God's speaking to you about that you're not responding to, and you leave tonight without getting right with God. That's another brick. Before long, you'll wake up to that one day and say, man, how did I get here?